So imagine that you knew you were going to die in a week. You had some terminal illness. And your friends and loved ones also knew that. And they came to you and they asked you to do something. They said, we're going to make a monument to you. And we want you to write the epitaph that we're going to put on the monument. And we want that epitaph to really say something essential. You that have lived this life, who are now facing something that we don't know anything about, something called death. Something about our life, and maybe even say it in a way that it could itself wake us up. And one other thing, we want you to put it in a single word. What would you write? Well, there was a Zen master. I don't remember if he was Chinese or Japanese. And he has a headstone in some Zen temple somewhere, and it has a single word on it. It's either Chinese or Japanese character. And the word is dream. Now, this word really points to something essential, penetrating, liberating, perhaps. What did he mean by this one word, dream? Was he pointing at the vanity and frivolousness of our lives, chasing after rainbows, so to speak, but ending up at the same place in the end? So all our endeavors were, in a sense, meaningless. We end up in a hole. A friend of mine once put it this way, he says, they let you out of the closet for 70 years, then they put you back in the closet and they close the door for the rest of time. And that's an attitude that people may hold about death. So was he pointing at this dream that we're living, based on delusions and desires and fears, cravings? Maybe. Was he pointing perhaps at something essential? Something fundamental? There's a saying in Buddhism. It actually comes from the shortest of all the sutras. It's called the Heart Sutra. And this sutra has, as its most famous line, perhaps, the words, form is emptiness. Just to give you the context within which that happens, I'll recite the first part of this verse. It's a long verse. And it goes like this. The bodhisattva of compassion, whose name is Avalokiteshvara, the bodhisattva of compassion, from the depths of prajna wisdom, meaning deep enlightenment, saw the emptiness of all five skandhas, or heaps, and sundered the bonds that caused him suffering. Know then, form here, in this state of awareness, is only emptiness. Emptiness only form. Form is no other than emptiness, emptiness no other than form. Feeling, thought, and choice, consciousness itself, are the same as this. This sutra goes on, but I can tell you that this is a sutra very close to the heart of Zen students throughout the world. It's chanted in Zen temples, Zen centers, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It has a deep koan-like nature. Form is emptiness. Remember what this Zen master put as his single word epitaph, dream. And it says that all things, all of these five skandhas, are also emptiness. Let's talk about that for a moment, these skandhas. What are the five skandhas, or five heaps? Out of which, through a kind of linear process, we concoct what feels to be a very solid individual entity that we call ourself, that passes through time. And the skandhas go like this. The first one is form. The second one is sensation. The third one, perception. The fourth one is mental formation, or volition. And the fifth one is consciousness. So moving in the direction from form, which is the basic stuff of experience, you might say the actual material of the dream, the events, the colors, the smells, the sounds, something happens. There's an immediate movement into the second heap called sensation. So these things are not disconnected, but taken individually and put all together, a separated entity they do not create. This was one of the teachings of the Buddha. The five skandhas, or heaps. So sensation is the moment that we recognize the form, recognize it. In other words, stand apart from it, separate from it, so that it becomes solid. It exists, it stands outside. It's no longer dreamlike. It's stuff, it's out there. It has a permanency. It was there before I was born, it will be there after I die. And I'm only passing through, clinging at some of these things that I really want and pushing away the ones that threaten me. And that brings us to the next skandha. So sensation is the moment of awareness of the form, self-conscious awareness. In this other way of looking at experience, form would be the first nen. Nen means a mental moment. The first nen is the form. In other words, all along you've been feeling your body on the cushions. That sensation has not been apart from you, but you didn't shine the light on it and become aware of yourself feeling that feeling, which is the step in the direction of what's called sensation. The next step is perception. All of these things happen almost instantaneously. They happen so fast, these men come one after the other after the other. First, then, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. So that we create an entire world that seems solid and outside, and we are solidly on the other side of the line. We've made a solid being and a solid world. So perception is the immediate recognition of what it is. Oh, those are Zen cushions. Oh, I must be doing Zazen. That's a good thing to do. And it's taking you now into the fourth skandha, which is called volition. So we went from form to sensation, that immediate movement of mind to separate and see something as outside and you as outside it. Perception, recognizing it, naming it, putting in a category, and then volition or mental formation. All the relationships that you are now going to create with this thing. You know it, you don't know it, you're familiar with it, it's threatening, you want it, you don't want it, you want to do battle with it, you want to get rid of it, you want to cling to it, you need more of it. And this whole continual, rapid, one might say unconscious, although we're conscious of it, process, one after the other, very rapidly, leads to an overall sense of my life, which you could call consciousness. My life, this is my life. My life. Separate from your life and every other life, standing apart. So, dream. Dream. What does Zen do about this? What does Zazen do about this? What we do, we actually start with what is, where we're at. We start with this consciousness or volition, a feeling, an emotion, a desire, or a perception, something we recognize. Oh, that's a watch, or that's a chair. I like that, I don't like that. We start with that, and we immediately see its form nature. We see its form nature. We unwind it back to form. All the way back. All the way back to form. So one technique that I will sometimes talk about is when you sit down in Zazen and you're in your consciousness, this integrated five-skanda heap concatenation called my life, you immediately observe its sensation. So often this takes the form of thinking. So the thinking is this continuous, just under the surface, train of thought that is comparing, judging, strategizing, fearing, remembering, all these things happening very rapidly. The action of Zazen uncovers it so clearly, so rapidly. It's very disconcerting for people starting out in Zazen. They feel that the action of mindfulness is making it worse. It's actually making this mental stream more obvious, worse, more inflamed, so to speak. Actually, it's uncovering it. It's there. It's there, and now you're, because you're quieting your mind and body, becoming aware of it. But in your awareness of it, you don't continue to play the skanda game. You bring it right back to form. So it's the sensation of thinking. Now, I don't mean sensation as standing apart, although at this point you still are apart. I'm saying you bring it back to form, the actuality of it, what it is, so to speak, not what you call it. You watch that, you follow that, and it starts to get more simple, because as you start to watch it, follow it, the consciousness aspect, the volitional aspect, the naming aspect, all of these start to drop away because you're not feeding them. You're coming back to something essential. It's just there. It's what it is. It's changing in each moment. But each moment, as I said in the teisho I gave at Zazen Kai, has a slight sustain. It's done. Each moment is there. As the end result of every moment that came before, is the end result of cause and effect. And it's there. And that's what I call form. Form. It's there as a result of karma. It's there because of causal conditions. It has dependent arising. If one thing didn't happen, that wouldn't have happened. And if I wasn't standing apart, it wouldn't stand apart. All these different aspects that bring about this form. The so-called material of experience, the material of experience. So we observe this form, we watch it, we notice how it's in each moment stopped, done. Therefore nothing need be done about it because it would be futile and irrelevant. It's done. This is the form side of reality. And this action is called mindfulness. So that is the action of Zazen, that uses techniques to focus your mind and bring it from all the moving into the skandhas and nens and elaborating a whole giant world called my life, bring it down to your actual core experience, your actuality, the experience in front of you. That's called mindfulness. Now, we might use counting, we might use the breath. Shikantaza is like the distillation of that. Just absolutely letting this moment as it is in its fullness, including your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your body, sounds in the room, to all shine their beingness without taking the extra steps of adding to it, naming it, making a relationship to it, and then putting it all together into one big story. So this is called mindfulness. Now remember, this master wrote dream. How is this pointing at something? This epitaph itself could be used as a koan, a one-word koan. What is he pointing at when he says the word dream? Now, the other side of zazen is, we have mindfulness. The other side is what you would call inquiry, or zen in Chinese, to zen, to look into, to penetratingly look into. If one were working on a koan, this would be sending your koan, like hu or mu. Or if you're doing shikantaza, it would be what I call penetrating shikantaza. You can do penetrating breath practice. In other words, you look at the actuality, moment by moment, the done, complete form of this moment, its form, and then you notice something. This noticing is not the same as that second nen, or the second skanda called sensation. It's not the same. It's somewhat like it, but it's not the same. Because in the movement to sensation, one creates a self that stands apart. But in this movement of inquiry, or tsen, we're now going from those five heaps, ground floor form, and now going down beneath it, to its presence, its being, its, one might call, appearance. So we notice this form, and we simultaneously notice its appearance. Its appearance cannot possibly be separated from its form. Its form can't be separated from its appearance. No appearance, no form. No form, no appearance. What's the difference between them? Remember, form is emptiness. Form is only emptiness. Emptiness is only form. There's no form outside of emptiness. There's no emptiness outside of form. So form is the changing side of this emptiness. And emptiness is the unchanging side of this form. So the form in each moment is done, but different moment by moment by moment, depending on karma. But it's fact. It's actuality. It's appearance. The sheer appearance is intimate, and that is unchanging. An unchanging, intimate thing that this master called dream. Dream. So, hopefully we won't have to write that epitaph anytime soon, and we'll end there now.